Juan Soto, New York Met. So far, the marriage not going as seamlessly as both sides probably would have hoped. So first things first, got to acknowledge that the Mets are a good baseball team. Soto's a big part of that, by the way. The Mets had been in first place in the NL East for the majority of the season to this point. They are currently in second place. They are just a half game behind the Phillies, but they're 10 over 500. They're 29-19. They got a much better run differential than Philadelphia. They have been the best team in the National League. If not for two straight losses here, they would probably still be in first place.
Yeah, they're really good.
They're good. And Juan Soto has played fine. If you look at his numbers compared to average, he is an above-average baseball player this season. But in a game of failure, he's failing a lot, as you'd anticipate. And when you sign a contract like the one he did this offseason, heavy lies the crown. But I've been amazed, Danny, by the coverage of Juan Soto over the last couple of weeks. And Ryan was bringing some of this up and showing it to me over the last couple of days, the ways he's being talked about, written about, what fans are saying. I think this all comes back to the fact that Soto signed a 15-year deal for $765 million, a deal the likes of which we'd never seen before in Major League Baseball. $51 million per over 15 years for $765 million.
My goodness.
Shattering what Shohei Ohtani got. Now, people talk about the Ohtani contract as if it's similar, and it really isn't. Ohtani got $700 million over 10 years, $70 million per to be a pitcher and a hitter. But so much of his money is deferred that when you look at the actual what Scott Boras, the agent for Soto, not for Ohtani, calls like the present net value, I think he calls it, like the PNV, it's $400-some million in present-day money compared to what Soto got, which is $765 million. But if you look at some of the complaints about Soto, some of them might be fine. Some of them might be reasonable. Like, he's hitting 246. You'd like him to hit 300. He only has 8 home runs. Maybe you'd like him to have 12, like James Wood. He has an 815 OPS. His career OPS is 950. I would explain a lot of this away by saying it's May 20th. This is not how baseball works. You know this, Danny. You played collegiately at GW. Mm-hmm. You're going to go through ebbs and flows, and you can't look at snapshots a couple months into a season for the 26-year-old. But he's never been a particularly great defensive player. He struggled a little bit in the outfield. But every little thing he does is under a microscope right now. When he runs to first, he's not running hard enough. When he doesn't lay out for a ball in the outfield that falls in because it's a hit, should he have dove for it? I mean, it's literally to that extent. We had a guy, we played the audio, this has been a couple months ago now.
Yeah.
Like in the first week of the season, some goofball New York radio guy was screaming about Juan Soto taking walks and not hitting enough home runs like a handful of games into the season or something. That's what you get when you go to New York. So he went to New York, was already there with the Yankees, but via free agency, he had never chosen to go to New York, signed with New York. And he went to the Mets and he took the $765 million. So you've kind of made your bed here. But the coverage of him is insane. I mean, everything he does because of this deal is not good enough. And it just seems to me like the expectations are insane.
So, yeah, several data points that I think are instructive. Number one, his slowest or worst months historically throughout his career have been March and April. That's holding true. And it's May now, and his, you know, his business has picked up slightly, but even still, it's not quite to his career norms. I think when you sign that deal, this is what comes of it. That'd be anywhere. Now, I don't know, maybe not in every baseball city. Obviously, New York is kind of its own extreme thing where they live and die with everything and they're screaming at you and the sky is falling, you know, if you roll over one ground ball. But when you're banging a ball off the wall in Boston and you pimp it and you watch it and you're jogging to first base and it hits the wall and you don't even come close to getting to second base, it's just fuel to the fire.
Absolutely.
Right? It just is.
And stuff like that is reasonable to me. Like, his manager talked to him afterwards about hustling or whatever. By the way, that happens in baseball
a lot. It does all the time.
When you get fooled, it was 105 mile an hour off the bat. He thought it was a home run. Wind's blowing in. It hits the fence. And you only get a single when you should have got a double. I get being annoyed or frustrated by that. Especially when you make $51 million. That's a tale as old as time. There are balls you're not going to catch that you should get to or whatever. There are reasonable complaints. But the vast majority of the complaints that I've seen about Juan Soto this year aren't that reasonable. It's things like I was talking with Clary the other day. And Ryan's like, I don't know, man. If I give you $700 million, I can't have you hitting 245. Like, that's not reality. That's not how baseball works. I'm sorry. You're going to hit 245 every now and then over a 7-8 week span. That's literally the game. By the way, it's league average batting average. That just means you're league average at this point. Everyone's hitting 245. That's what people hit now against the really good pitching in Major League Baseball. But I just wonder, and this is kind of the conversation I want to have here, mm-hmm. Could we get to a point with Soto, it's so early here, that it's clearly wearing on him a little bit. There's a couple anecdotes in a piece I was reading that Ryan sent me where he was supposed to be mic'd up for ESPN. He chose not to be.
Mm-hmm.
He was supposed to be doing like the in-game interview in the outfield. He chose not to because he doesn't want to talk about Aaron Judge. He made the comment very early in the year when he got off to the slow start, like, it's hard not having Aaron Judge behind me or something like that. And people took that as a slight to Pete Alonso, who got off to a great start. And so he got asked a million times about that. Now he's playing the Yankees for the first time, and he didn't want that to come back up. There's also a lot of Yankees fans have made this a big deal during this series. I know Michael Kay, during their telecast on the Yes Network, said, I don't know if he cited sources or suggested that this was a thing, but he basically said something along the lines of, he wishes he was still with the Yankees. He's having buyer's remorse. He's clearly just the body language isn't good. He's not as happy with the Mets. He was having more fun with the Yankees. And so that's become this big story. He didn't want to deal with that on Sunday Night Baseball mm-hmm. and talking about his time with the Yankees versus the Mets. So he just, despite agreeing to do it, said, no, I'm not going to do it. Got heat for that. Then, and this is not good, I will be the first one to tell you this is ridiculous, he left the media high and dry after the game, which is an obligation. Especially when you make that kind of money.
Absolutely.
You sure as hell be an ambassador to the team. So he told them, hey, I'm going to go visit my family. I'll come back. And maybe he truly forgot, but he didn't come back, supposedly. Didn't talk to the media. But you could just tell that dealing with the New York media, which is more of a pain in the butt than just about any other market, that are harping on every little thing more than any other market would, is already starting to get to him a little bit in his first season.
Yeah, it looks like he's not having much fun. Now, granted, that's not like I'm watching every pitch or every at bat or otherwise, but it doesn't seem like the same rip-roaring, fun-loving guy that you know played with such joy like he used to, even in other spots. Now, he's gotten off to rough starts in multiple stops. Remember, in 2019, he couldn't hit water if he thought of a boat to start the season with an injury mixed in there. He got off to a bad start in San Diego, got off to a tough start, I think, with the Yankees, if memory serves, but then settles in. He'll be fine. He's too good, and the process is too good. I mean, even still, while he's not hitting great, you know, still a 377 on base percentage and, you know, an OPS over 800. Like, it's not as if it's been a disaster. This is not an Anthony Rendon, plays once and then sits down for 6 months, buyer's remorse kind of a deal from the team's perspective. He's been fine. But it's when you sign, again, that deal, nobody's signing up for fine. Nobody's signing up for you with similar numbers to Tyrone Taylor. Nobody's signing up for you to be out hit in situationally by Mark Vientos. Driving the big run here and there. They don't pay you $51 million in New York to grind into the leading amount of double plays. None of those things are fair necessarily, but again, you took the deal, man. You signed up for it. So I don't know. It's an interesting phenomenon, certainly, where I don't condone people going crazy like they've never seen a baseball season before in New York. I don't condone that fandom or that kind of extremist shouting media type stuff. I also have no sympathy for Juan Soto. For you could have signed anywhere, and you signed in New York with the New York media and the microscope, even after you got to experience it when you were traded. You were traded there, and you saw what it was like being in New York, and you were like, I'll sign a 15-year deal for $1 trillion to stay there. You are opening yourself up to these kinds of things. So if you've got buyer's remorse, tough. Also, I guess, you know what I mean? I don't really have any sympathy for anybody when it comes to this.
Yeah, I guess I'm not looking for sympathy, or I don't think there should be any empathy for Juan Soto, because I think what you're saying is just correct and mm-hmm. obvious, right? When you make the choice to take all of the money and chase the bag, this is what you're bringing on. I actually tweeted about this, and I'll read you the tweet. I just want to get your thoughts on this. I said, the discourse around Juan Soto right now in New York is absolutely insane to me. Everything he does gets scrutinized, which is the point I'm making. In a game where you fail 7 out of 10 times, every failure is being held against him. I guess that's kind of my frustration. Baseball is a game where the really good ones, 3 times out of 10, do a good job. So if you just want to jump on someone constantly, you're going to get a chance to do it 70% of the time. And boy, are they enjoying doing that. Everything he's doing is under a microscope. Is he hustling? What does his body language mean? Should he have laid out for this ball? Like, that is exhausting,
mm-hmm.
and it's just no good way to go about operating if you're Juan Soto. My point is, some of it's the New York media, and I cite that loud radio guy screaming about him walking too much, which is a good thing, by the way. Big part of it is the contract he signed. I think, coming back to your point, that's the name of the game here. Places a target on your back. Expectations are impossible to meet. I don't think he did anything wrong. He's hopping around, following the bag. It's America. It's capitalism. The market dictates what you're worth. I'm in on all of that stuff. But what I'm wondering is, and the reason I bring it up, could this in any way change how players view hopping around in the future?
Interesting.
To me, if I'm Juan Soto, I'm wondering right now, like, staying in New York for 750 or whatever the number was instead of 765 with the Yankees, would I be better off right now? Probably. Would I have rather stayed in Washington for $440 million than gone and done this? Absolutely not. $300 million is a pretty big difference. But the money is bigger. The money is greener. But the grass is not always going to be. And I just wonder if this is a little bit of a... maybe an important...
Like a crossroads almost?
Yeah, an experiment for other players that say, am I sure I need to get $1 billion in 4 years? Am I sure I need to get $800 million when Soto got 755, 765? Because what you're doing is you're putting the target on your back.
Mm-hmm.
When you break the record, now everything that you do, and this is not quarterbacking, where you can avoid throwing interceptions. Aaron Rodgers has seasons where he throws in his prime 47 touchdowns and four picks for 5,000 yards and wins an MVP award. That's not a game of failure. You're going to have incompletions, but it's not the same. Juan Soto is a 285 hitter. That's what he's going to hit. That's his career. That's what he should be. That's what he does. He's probably not a 40 home run guy, which he did with the Yankees last year, but let's say he's more of a 30 home run guy. He's an unbelievable offensive talent who's going to draw walks and get on base. That's his game. He's not a particularly good fielder. Like, they knew all this when they signed him.
Yep.
And I guess my point is, when you sign a deal like this in that sport, I don't think you can live up to it. There's always going to be nits to pick. There's always going to be things that are frustrating. So if you are the next guy in line, do you think about that? Does it change your conversation with your agent, Scott Boras? If you're James Wood, let's say, and when it's your turn to go get paid and you can get $800 million, do you go, am I sure I want to be a hired gun for the Mets and Steve Cohen? And the first time that I jog down the first baseline, after a single into the gap or whatever, and I don't turn it into two, Tom Easterbrook is writing the column in the New York Newsday about me.
Mm-hmm.
Am I sure I want to be the butt of everybody's conversation every single day?
Because some guys won't care. Some guys will say, "Yeah, I don't mind any of that stuff." You think of yourself as invincible, right? I mean, you got to the highest level because you are like everybody that I played with over the years that made the major leagues. Every one of them, whether everyone from Chad Tracy to Nick Swisher to Mark Teixeira to guys that I was in showcase tournaments with or summer teams with, whatever, every one of those guys knew they were a major leaguer. You know what I mean? Like, even if they weren't, I played with guys that were crazy, that thought they were but weren't. They weren't any better than me. And I'm like, dude, no, you're not. You know, there's a lot of us that are not.
Right.
But they had this no-doubt situation in their brain where they would go, yeah, I'm going to the major leagues. It's not a hope. It's what's going to happen. And you don't get to the big leagues without having some kind of alpha or, you know, athletic arrogance where you go, I don't care about that. But some people might go, yeah, that doesn't sound like that much fun, actually. I'd like to be able to ground out a couple of times and not get booed at home. So maybe I don't want to play in Boston or New York or Philadelphia, or a couple of the harsher places where they scrutinize everything. Maybe I could go to Baltimore. Maybe I could go to Minnesota or something, somewhere in between. It is something to think about that I think guys don't when they're chasing that record type stuff.
Like, I don't think Scott Boras cares.
He doesn't care
about the coverage or if there's an animus or the fact that the target's on your back because the check is cleared. And I don't mean for Boras Corp. I'm not being cynical. I mean for the player. That's his job. His job is to get that guy the most money possible. Mm-hmm. And it's not just about the dollars, as he says. It's about your value, which I agree with. And also, because he represents a lot of players and he's involved, you know, in helping the union, every time a guy gets that contract, it raises the bar forever. The market just reset itself. It's like selling a house for $200K over asking or whatever. Everyone around you in that neighborhood's going to benefit. But I just wonder if this doesn't go well. It's very early. But if this goes sideways, if there would be any kind of shift in how the next superstar player looking for the bag would think about their options. That's all. And I want to pose that question to people
combo.
At 800-636-1067. He made the choice for New York, the scrutiny, the media attention. He made the choice for the unbelievable contract that broke every record, and he did nothing wrong. I think he did everything right, in fact. But there's no way you're having as much fun as you used to when nobody was furious every time you grounded out, which is now the case because how dare you, to quote Ryan, who knows a lot about, I mean, he's a baseball guy.
Yeah.
You go, I can't pay him that much and have him hit 246, even though that's how baseball works. But that's how people think. That's literally what people are thinking about Juan Soto. Just because you paid him, now he's got to hit 300. He's got to hit 45 home runs. He can't have a bad month. He can't have a bad week. Is that's how you want to live for the 15 years? Is that's how you want to do
it?
Is
that what I would sign up for?